those that are thrilled with it, it works for. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we come before you this morning thanking you and praising you for your mighty word. You sent your word, you healed us and delivered us from all our destructions. Today we're grateful and thankful that your word is living power. It is all that you are. It can do all that you can do. Nothing is too hard or difficult for you. We praise you, we honor you, we worship you in this place this morning. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We thank you that you are the great illuminator, the great teacher and revealer of all truth, bringing the understanding and revelation knowledge into the heart of each listener in here today. And we thank you for more clarity coming to each one, more understanding coming to each one, their faith growing today, more and more, all to bring glory and honor to you. And I ask, Father God, that you would grant me utterance in the Holy Spirit. Think through my thoughts today. Speak through my lips your words today. I trust you and I thank you for great unction and utterance in the name of Jesus. And we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, we've been hearing the reports of the last two lessons in healing school concerning unforgiveness. It has been blessing people. It has been helping people. People are being set free. And praise God and thank God for his word, right? His word works for those who will work it, believe it, receive it. Amen. Yeah. But today we're going to take a different route and I believe that the Spirit of God had us on that for the amount of time and said what all he wanted to say on unforgiveness. So today I want to just bring back to our remembrance, bring back to your remembrance, why faith? Why faith? You know, faith in the life of the believer is so vitally important and crucial, or it should be. Yes. And we're not talking about natural faith, because every single one of us have natural faith. We were born with natural faith. Natural faith is the faith that comes by what you can see, feel, hear, touch, taste. That's natural faith, when you can already see it and feel it, put your hands on it. But we're talking about the God kind of faith. And why is the God kind of faith so important? Because to the life of the believer, we've been instructed according to the Word of God that we are to live a life of faith. Number one is, why is faith so important? Is you can't be saved without faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it tells us, for you are saved by grace through faith. Well, that's important. That's how a relationship starts with the Lord, is getting saved first. Hallelujah. Receiving a new nature on the inside. Getting rid of the old nature and receiving the new nature. Hallelujah. We also said, why faith, Lord God? Why is faith so important? Well, number two is you can't live for God without faith. Romans 1:17 tells us the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. So we can't live for God without faith. Hallelujah. Yeah. Then thirdly, why faith? Can't please God without faith. Hebrews 11:6. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those that come unto him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith in the life of the believer is so vitally important with your walk with God. So if you can't please God without faith, then it ought to be every one of our responsibilities to learn about it as much as we can, to hear about it, to apply it, to develop it, to want to grow in our faith. Fourthly, you can't walk the Christian walk without faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. The New Living Translation says, the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, we walk by believing and not by seeing. Ooh, so vitally important. God gave us our five senses, but he didn't give us our five senses to believe him with. He gave us our five senses to contact this natural physical world that we live in every single day. But he did give you a heart, a new heart. He gave you his spirit on the inside. Because his spirit lives and dwells in your spirit when you receive his very life, his very nature, and his ability. So we're to walk by faith, walk by believing, and not by seeing. Then number five, we can't enter into the Christian fight without faith. We cannot enter into the Christian fight without faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, it tells us to what? Fight the good fight of faith. Notice it tells us it's a good fight. Why? What in the world, Pastor Debbie? Fight the good fight. Why is it a good fight? Because it's already been declared in the Word of God who the winner is. You're the winner. You're the overcomer. You're the more than conqueror. Right here and right now in this life. Not when we get to heaven. He's telling us, for that is his word to us right here and right now on the earth. So this is so important, because Hebrews 11:6 says, so it takes faith to know God, to please God, to receive from God. God desires that we seek him and find him. He promises to what? Reward those who diligently seek him. He promises that. Those who diligently seek him. I'm reminded of a scripture in Luke chapter 18, and in verse 8 it says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistence in faith on the earth? Woo! Another translation says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find people in faith on the earth? Persistence in their faith on the earth. Here's another translation says, will he find people using their faith on the earth? So you have people that, will he find them persistent in their faith? Will he find them using their faith? And will he find them in faith, in touch with God and believing God and trusting God, taking God at his word? What does his word say? Yeah. These is very, very important about faith. You know, I like to, from time to time, read some different things from generals in the faith. Some are still here and some have gone on to heaven. But this one is going on to heaven. That was Smith Wigglesworth. And it was quoted from Dr. Lester Summerall, who is also going to heaven. But in one of his books, Pioneering of Faith, he gave an account of one of his personal visits with Smith Wigglesworth. So this is Dr. Lester Summerall going to Smith Wigglesworth's house and personally visiting with him. And he said, one day, he said, I asked him, Brother Wigglesworth, how is it that you look the same every time? Every time I come, how do you feel? He bellowed out at me and said, I don't ever ask Smith Wigglesworth how he feels. He said, I asked, how do you get up in the morning? He said, I jump up out of bed. I dance before the Lord for at least 10 to 12 minutes, high speed dancing. Now, this is Lester Summerall asking Brother Smith Wigglesworth. Now, this man was known, Brother Smith Wigglesworth was an apostle of faith. He was known for having at least 23 people raised from the dead under his ministry. He was well known as a man of faith and power. He would literally step on trains, and when he would step onto trains, people would start trembling and shaking under the power of God. Yeah. Then the Holy Spirit would begin to convict them, and they would cry out, "What must I do to get saved?" Yeah. They couldn't stand as a sinner in the presence of God that he carried on his life, the power that he carried, the presence that he carried. It was powerful. And here Dr. Lester Sumrall is asking these questions. How do you feel? And he says, "I don't never ask Smith Wigglesworth how I feel." In other words, he never let his body tell him how he felt. He made a choice every day when he got out of bed. This is the way it's going to be. Body, you're going to get in line with it or else. That's just the way it is. You don't have no other option. So he said, he would get up. He says, "So what do you do in the morning?" He said, "I jump out of bed. I dance before the Lord for at least 10 to 12 minutes, high speed dancing." I could just picture that right now. Praise God. Just going wild for Jesus. Come on now. He says, "I jump up and down in my room telling God how great he is, how glad I am to be associated with him and to be his child." He said, "After this, I would read my Bible for an hour, pray for an hour. Then I would open the mail to see what God would have me to do that day." Now, here it is, one of the generals in the faith. We wonder how he walked in so much power and faith. He was a man that was totally sold out to God. He was serious about his walk with God and what God had assigned him and wanted him to do from day to day. He took it serious. I just love that. Does it challenge you? Of course it does. It should challenge you to want to grow in your faith. So as we're also told in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, that we should have exceedingly growing faith. Paul was exhorting the Thessalonians and he said, "I see that your faith is growing exceedingly and your love for one another." That's faith and love right in there together. I love it. I love it. Because what does it tell us in Galatians 5, verse 6? Faith works by love. We want our faith working. Hallelujah. So faith is so, so important to our lives. And we should be wanting to take the time to invest in these areas of our lives on a continual basis where we're constantly hearing the Word of God, seeing the Word of God, speaking the Word of God, especially if you're fighting a good fight of faith or you're having a test or trial, or opposition is coming against you. It's very important what you're hearing constantly, what you're saying constantly, what you're seeing constantly. Why? Because they are the three gateways into our hearts, the ear gate, the mouth gate, and the eye gate. Guarding our hearts on a continual basis. And it does matter about what you say and what you say continually, not just in the time of the crisis or just in the time of the opposition or when it's really the enemy's really putting pressure on you, whether it's against your mind or your physical body. Because if he can't wear you down mentally, he will attack you physically. One way or the other, he's constantly coming against you. And many times it begins with the thought life. And we learned that we cannot outthink the devil, but you can outtalk the devil. You cannot fight thoughts with thoughts. You have to fight thoughts with spoken words. Why? Because the speech center is the dominion center of our lives. What we say constantly. But those words need to be what? They need to get out here in this atmosphere that we live in, the first and second heaven. And let it begin to affect and impact the first and second heavens. The atmosphere around us. Those words are powerful. Jesus said, I like what the message says. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can be your damnation. Very, very true. Very true. So it's so, so important what we do on a continual basis and learning and growing in our walk with God. Yeah? Hallelujah. And so, you know, lessons of faith we had looked at before we did the unforgiveness series, the walls of Jericho. We had looked at going into the Bible, looked at some examples here, and one of them was the walls of Jericho, Joshua and the children of Israel. And what they did and how they marched around the walls and they shouted while the walls were still up. We don't shout once the walls come down. No, faith shouts before the walls come down.
That's right.
Because it already knows the outcome. Faith sees the end from the beginning. It sees the end from the beginning. What's the end, Pastor Debbie? By Jesus' stripes, you were healed.
Right.
Himself took your infirmities, bore your diseases, sicknesses. He became your sickness and disease substitute. It was laid on him for you. See it on him. Don't see it on yourself. Don't let the devil paint the negative the negative picture of seeing it on yourself. No. Get the word of God before your eyes and meditate on it. Think on it. Think on it. Dwell on it. Mutter it to yourself over and over and over and over again. You can't stop muttering it to yourself. You can't stop speaking it enough. You can't stop thinking about it and dwelling on it over and over and over again. Because the word will eventually paint the picture right inside, right in your heart, right in your spirit of who you really are according to the word. The healed.
Yes.
See yourself healed. You know, I've heard of different testimonies of different ones. And the way that they, when they was in the battle of faith, they was in the battle against the enemy. They was in the battle of faith, standing, fighting the good fight of faith. They would take pictures of themselves where they were healthy and strong and put it on the walls and put it on the mirror around them. So when they looked this way or looked that way, they saw themselves healthy and strong and doing exactly what they would want to do in life, live a full life, enjoying their family, enjoying the grandchildren.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Right.
It helped them.
Yeah.
I won't forget this testimony of the woman that was diagnosed with breast cancer. And she went to the hospital and she had got a hold of the faith message. After they told her that she'd been diagnosed with breast cancer, stage 4. And she went to the hospital because the doctors had some appointments for her to do her follow-ups. And when she did, they began to show her her CT scan. And they pulled the screen around. They began to point at the different area on the CT scan. They said, "This is the area that we're concerned about right here in your body." And she said that she saw it and fear began immediately to grip her. And she's sitting there and the fear's coming against her, and she said all of a sudden the Spirit of God spoke to her right out of her spirit, right out of her heart, and he said, "Is what you see greater than what I have said to you?" And she says, "No, Lord." She says, "I repent. Lord God, I'm gone for your word, Lord God. Your word is what I'm holding on to. I believe your word." And she said the moment she verbally said that, on the CT scan, on the screen in front of the doctors, nurses, and her, a circle of light appeared. And it was right around that area where the doctors were concerned about. And that light appeared and it began to close in and get smaller and smaller on that area on the CT scan until it closed in totally on that area and it was gone. Right there in front of her and the doctors. She said she left there and she said her next report was totally clear and no cancer. But I think about what the Holy Spirit said to her. He says, "Is what you see greater than what I have said?" So that word's got to be more real to us than the circumstance, situation, sickness, diagnosis, disease. The Word of God has got to be more real. And like I said, she'd taken the time because she heard the faith message to get it in her heart. And when they went back and they showed her the CT scan, she had a marvelous opportunity to either side in with the fear or take God at His word. She says, Lord, I see it. I ask you to forgive me. I take you at your word. Yeah. And she, her next report was she was totally cleared of all cancer. Stage 4. Don't matter if it's stage 1, stage 5, stage 4, whatever. If you put your faith in God's word. We're talking about the God kind of faith. Lessons of faith here. What does it look like? And she chose that. She chose the word. Remember, the word of God is living power. When you set yourself before the word and you're partaking of that word, you're eating it, you're feeding on it, you're speaking it, you're meditating on it, that word becomes a part of you. What's in the word gets in you. If it's life, it's producing life in you. If it's healing and medicine, it's producing medicine and healing in you. Yes. It's so powerful, and that's the way we got to understand it and know it. Yeah. It's living power. It has the power within itself to fulfill itself. It is all that God is. It can do all that God can do. Yeah. It's life. Life-giving, life-sustaining, life-preserving. It's quickening, alive. Yeah. I remember of another situation when I went to the hospital and this woman was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And I got into a room and I was standing beside her bed, and she started laughing. She says, Pastor Debbie, she says, they say I got stage 4 cancer, but she says, I got the healing power of God working in me. Yeah. And she jumps off her bed, and she's got that thing that's hooked up to her that's on wheels, and she's like running from one side of the bed to the other because you can't go around the whole bed because of all the hookups and the connections, you know. But she's going from one side. She goes, I just know I'm healed. I don't care what they say. She's going back and forth, and that little pole is rolling with her the best that she can. I said, I am with you. Yes, you are. Why? How do you know that? Because God said that.
That's right.
So I went back. She was at home. She wasn't in the hospital. She said, I'm free of cancer. I said, I know. I heard you are free of cancer. That's so awesome. That's so good. I said, it's because you believe. She says, yep, up to this day. They will say opposite. She says, nope, I'm healed. What do we believe? Our faith in God and our trust in God, our actions should follow. Just because we get an evil report, a bad report, we can't be moved by bad reports or evil reports. We got to look at the report of the Lord, Isaiah 53, verse 1. Whose report will you believe? And then the power of God is revealed to those who believe God's report. And then we looked at another example with David and Goliath. And we can't forget that one either, because David won the war of words before he won his actual victory. When he faced the giant, Goliath, he won the war of words first before he ever saw anything, before anything took place concerning the giant. He spoke and he declared. He spoke and he declared. He knew he had a covenant with God. He wasn't moved by what he saw. But there were others around him that were moved by what they were hearing from the giant and what they were seeing of the giant. But David was not moved. But David goes back and he remembers his victory over a lion and a bear. He said, if God helped me and did that with me then, he said, this giant ain't nothing. He said it. He said, this giant ain't nothing. And he faced that giant. He didn't run at his giant with his mouth shut. He ran at his giant speaking and declaring the end result. Speaking and declaring the end result. All the time, we got to continue to do that. Speak and declare the end result. Plus, David knew he had supernatural weapons. He knew he had supernatural weapons. Because Saul tried to say, hey, put my coat of armor on, take this, do this. He was like, no, I'm not used to that. I can't do that. But I am used to the God that I serve. And I know him, and I know him very well, and I'm going in his power. And he said, with the name of the Lord of hosts on my side. Come on now. Woo! So David had the final word. He had the final last say-so. The enemy had spoke some things to him, but he was not moved. He didn't allow the enemy's words that he spoke to him to move him off of his faith in God and trust in God. Lessons of faith. Here we go. Why faith? Because it pleases God. We want to receive from God. We want to seek him and find him. And he has rewards for those who diligently seek him. So today I want us to open our Bibles together and we're going to begin to look at another example here in the Bible. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And here we have King Jehoshaphat and Judah, and they become surrounded with a whole bunch of enemies. So if we start in verse 1, I'm reading from the Amplified. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. So you can get the picture in your mind here as we continue to read this, that they're surrounded with a whole army of enemies all around them. Anyway, verse 1. After this, the Moabites, Ammonites with them, and the Midianites all came against Jehoshaphat to battle. It was told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude has come against you from behind the Dead Sea from Edom, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, and which is in Gedi. Verse 3, then Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself determinedly as his vital need to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast in all Judah. Yeah, I want us to understand something right here. Verse 3 is so good. It's just so good. We need to learn to go to the throne and not your phone. Let me say it again. We need to learn to go to the throne and not your phone. Hallelujah. Too many people are connecting with their phone more than they are connecting with the God who lives in them. Oh, come on now. Come on, come on. Got to change some things. Yes, 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 yes. There's nothing wrong with having a phone and using it for its ability to help you to hear the Word of God. Sure, absolutely, the good things that can come from that. But too many people are putting confidence in their phone and not going to the throne, the God who created them and made them and knows all about them, who is their healer and their great physician. Come on now.
Oh boy.
Woo! So, you know, Romans 8:31, it tells us if God is for us, who can be against us? In fact, I like to read what the Amplified says in Romans 8:31, because it adds a little bit more that I like what it says. Romans 8:31. It says, "What then shall we say to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side?" Exactly. Nobody. Who can be our foe if God is on our side? Nobody. Mm-mm. No, no, no. And then you can't forget about 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. "For you are of God, little children, and have already..." Let's look at that, because I love the Amplified. 1 John 4, 4. Because the more you're seeing it and hearing it, it's helping your faith. Something about seeing it and hearing it at the same time. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. It said, this is the Amplified. "Little children, you are of God. You belong to Him and have already defeated and overcome them." Who? The agents of the Antichrist. That's the devil and all his cohorts. That's every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, every all poverty and lack and fear, all of that. It says right here, "You belong to Him and have already defeated and overcome them," the agents of the Antichrist, "because He who lives in you is greater, mightier than he who is in the world." You got to see yourself as having already won, because Jesus already won it for you 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. Won the victory. He didn't win it for himself. He won that victory for you and I. His victory is your victory. His triumph is your triumph. When he overcame sickness, death, disease, poverty for you and me. Now you got to believe that and claim that victory as yours. You got to personalize it. Make it yours. Believe it. Claim it. That's my victory too. What Jesus wrought, He wrought it for me. That's mine. I believe it's mine. I receive it as mine.
Yes.
You see how your words are accepting what already belongs to you, but it determines, determines the outcome here. What you're saying, "Oh, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. It's mine. I'm not moved, I'm not moved. Nope, 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 by what I feel." What is Smith Wigglesworth? He'd go around and say, "I'm not moved by what I feel, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by what the Word says. The Word says, what the Word says about God, that's what moves me." Yeah. Hallelujah. So if we turn back to 2 Chronicles 20. So go to the throne and not your phone. Seek the Lord. Let's keep going here. Verse 4. "And Judah..." "And Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord." They went to the Lord for help. "Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord, yearning for Him with all their desire." So it wasn't something just shallow. I could take it or leave it, maybe. I don't know. If this don't work, I got plan B. No, they were seeking the Lord and they were yearning for Him to come through for them for the answer. They knew that they were surrounded by their enemies. Verse 6, and he said, verse 5, and Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? What is he doing? What is King Jehoshaphat doing? He's beginning to magnify God and not the problem, not the situation, not the where you are surrounded with a great multitude. No. He begins to immediately turn his attention on God and begin to declare what God says about himself. He says, Are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations in your hand? Woo! Whose hand? In God's hand are power and might so that none is able to withstand you. Woo! That just makes me want to dance right there. He said, in your hand is power and might. They might think it's some power, might some over here. And he said, no, he said, in your hand is power and might. And he said, so that none is able to withstand you. Glory to God. None. Do you see your circumstance and situation in that none?
Yes.
None is able to withstand you. Verse 7. Did not you, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever? Woo! Healing belongs to you. It was bought and paid for. It is a settled, done deal by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's not if, not maybe, not hope so. It's a done, settled accomplishment, a defeat that Jesus won 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. It's settled forever in the heavens.
Yes.
By his stripes you were healed. He sent his word and healed you. Psalms 107 verse 20. He sent his word and healed you and delivered you from all your destructions. Hallelujah. Boy, he's really boasting and bragging on God. God the Father, God Almighty. Verse 8, they dwelt in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if evil comes upon us, or you could say if tests and trials come, the sword of judgment, pestilence, famine, we will stand before this house and before you for your name. And the symbol of your presence is in this house and cry to you in our affliction and you will hear and save. What does it tell us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14? This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will or his word, he hears us. And we know we have the petitions and requests we ask of him. We know it. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Let's move down to verse 11. It says, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of our possession, which you have given us to inherit. They reward us by coming to drive us out of that which you have given to us to inherit. Verse 12, O our God, will you not exercise judgment upon them? For we have no might. In other words, in and of yourself, you're no competition there for the enemy. Only through the greater one that's in you that's declared you're one. You have won. You are the winner. We in and of ourselves in the natural, is that they recognize it. They said, we don't have no might. We in and ourselves are nothing for this enemy. But you being on our side is a different story. Oh, boy. It says, we have no might to stand against this great company that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. What does it say about eyes on you? Oh, boy. Proverbs 4, verse 20. 21 and 22, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, keep them before your eyes, for they are life unto those that find them, healing to all, medicine to all your flesh. Keep them, attend to them. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Look unto Jesus. Jesus is the living word. Keep looking at Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. What does it tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18? Oh boy, Since we consider and look not to the things that are seen. We're not even to consider them, and we're not even to look to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are visible are temporal, subject to change. Why? Because that which is eternal swallows up that which is subject to change, temporal. When you hold that which is eternal, the Word of God, up against that which is temporary, subject to change, that which is eternal swallows up that which is temporal. It says the things that are visible are temporal, brief, fleeting, but the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. God's word is unchanging.
Yes.
It's eternal. He never changes. Hebrews 13:8, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes. Hallelujah. He's reliable. He's dependable.
Yes.
His word is reliable, trustworthy, dependable. We can trust him. We can trust his word. We can take him at his word because it's true and it will work for you. God is no respecter of persons. He's only a respecter of faith. Hallelujah. It's faith that brings God on the scene. It's faith that activates God's power in your life. It's his faith in you working for you. Hallelujah. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So we stopped in verse 12. We go to verse 13. Woo! I don't know about you, but I'm preaching myself happy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 13, it says, "And all Judah stood before the Lord with their children and their wives." They were taking it serious. Very serious to the whole family was brought in on this ordeal, and they were all trusting God together. Verse 14, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly." Verse 15, he said, "Hearken, all of Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, the Lord says this to you." "Be not afraid." Well, that's a good... Do you know there's at least 365 fear nots in the Bible? That's one for every day. That's one for every single day. Fear not. Fear not. Why? Because we know that's one of the ploys and the schemes of the enemy is to instantly try to bring fear.
Yes.
Just like that woman when she looked at that CT scan, she said instantly fear tried to grip her.
Yeah.
But then she'd been soaking in the Word and saturating herself with the Word of God that the Spirit of God just spoke up right out of her heart. "Are you going to believe what you see more than the words that I have said?" God's word is powerful. It is all powerful. So it says right here in verse 15, "The Lord says this to you, do not be afraid." So we know 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, what did Paul say? He said, "God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind." Philippians chapter 1 and verse 28, "Do not be intimidated or frightened for one moment by your adversary. For your fearlessness is a sure token and sign of his imminent destruction." And what's to come on the enemy? Your fearlessness. I love it. In fact, I just got to go there because it's just so good. I love it out of the Amplified. Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. It says, do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries, for such constancy and fearlessness on your part will be a clear sign, proof, seal to them of who? Their impending destruction, the enemy's impending destruction, but a sure token and evidence to you of your deliverance, your freedom, your salvation, your healing, and that from God. Woo, I'm telling you. That's what he tells us. Fear not. Fear not. You know, Paul was faced with a lot of things and dealt with a lot of opposition, persecution. He'd go in different places and they wanted to kill him. No doubt. And Paul said in Acts 20, verse 24, he said, none of these things move me. None of these things move me. He was not moved by all the persecution, all the opposition that was totally up against him. He recognized that God's grace was sufficient for him. God's grace was sufficient for him. Yes. Made him perfect in his weakness. Yes. He trusted in God. Paul said this. Then when he was on the ship, they were, him and 276 other prisoners were on there, and they were being moved from one place to another, and a great storm arose and began to threaten them and began to oppose. And Paul heard from the Holy Ghost, and he told them, he said, men, fear not, I got a word from God. But the captain of the ship didn't listen to Paul, and they kept sailing because it looked good in the natural, and then the big storm rose up, and it was threatening to take their lives, but God. Because Paul had heard from God, and he said, this night an angel has stood here beside me. Woo! Because what? Paul chose to believe God. He said, not one of your lives, not one hair on your head will be lost. Not one life will be lost in all of this that will be happening. Not one life. And he said, all of them made it to the land safe. Every one of them, not one life was taken by that storm, because of what Paul said. Paul said this, and I love it. Paul said in Acts 27, verse 24. I want to make sure I'm giving the right scripture. 27, verse 25. He said, be of good cheer. He said, I believe God. It shall be even as it was told me. That's Paul. He's telling the men on the ship is falling apart, the waves are hitting it, it's breaking all up. He says, not one of your lives will be lost. He said, be of good cheer, I believe God, it shall be even as it was told me. Here's a good one for you to say. I will be of good cheer, I believe God, it shall be as it has been told me. What has been told you? He sent his word and already healed you. By his stripes you were healed. Himself took your infirmities, bore your diseases, sicknesses, weaknesses. Yeah. It was laid on him. He did it in your place. What he bore, you need to refuse to bear. What he carried away from you. Yes. Hallelujah. So Paul said, none of these things move me. He said, be of good cheer, men. Verse 17, it says, but so you shall not need to fight in this battle. Take your positions. Stand still. What? Take your positions? Oh, yeah. What position, Pastor Debbie? Your position of your stand in faith. Your position of victory. Your position of triumph. Stand your ground in faith and victory. Take your position. Stand still. See the deliverance. See, you got to see it first in here. You got to see it in your spirit. Let that word paint that picture of victory, that picture of wholeness, that picture of healing to you on the inside. so you can see it on the outside. See it. What does it tell us in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7? So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The you that you see, the you that you see is the you will be.
Yes.
Don't see yourself defeated. Don't see yourself with this illness. Don't see yourself sick and barely making it and all the different things the devil tries to throw at you to get you in doubt and unbelief.
Right.
No, uh-uh. Take your position. Your position, your stand of faith. So that means in your stand of faith, what does it tell us in Ephesians chapter 6? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, verse 12, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world. So we know who we are continuing to resist.
Yeah.
He says, you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Mm-mm. But you're taking your stand of faith and not allowing the enemy to move you or sway you off of your faith in God's word and what he has said. It's like Abraham. You are fully persuaded. There is a knowing in your spirit, in your heart. You know that you know that you know I got this. I got this. It's mine. I got it. It's mine. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by what I believe. I believe God. Take your position. Stand still. So there's going to be peace. When you're in faith, you have peace. There's joy and peace when you're believing God. It tells us that in Romans chapter 5. Let me make sure I get the right verse here for you. Romans 15, verse 13. Joy and peace when you believe in God. It says, may the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Through the experience of your faith and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope. So we have to allow that word to paint a picture in here. We have to begin to see yourself the way God sees you already. Not defeated, but the overcomer, the more than conqueror, the healed of the Lord, the redeemed of the Lord. Why does it tell us in Psalms 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Somebody got to say what is so. You're to say what is so. Constantly say what is so concerning you in this matter. Take your position. You're also seated with Christ in the heavenly places far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. You're seated with Christ far above. What is that? It's in a place of dominion. When Christ went to sit at the right hand of the Father, it's a place of dominion where you and I on this earth get to exercise that same dominion that he gave us, authority. Verse 17, so you shall not need to fight in this battle. Take your position, stand still, stand in the peace of God. See your deliverance, the deliverance of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not nor be dismayed. Well, the only way they can begin to fear or to be dismayed is to begin to look at their circumstance and situation. But we're told not to look at the circumstance and situation, but to look at that which is eternal, that which is unchanging. Keep looking at that which is eternal, that which is unchanging, and that can change that which is temporal. Keep looking at it. When it says keep looking at it, it meant keep looking at it. So you can see where you are when you're fighting the good fight of faith, because if you begin to get discouraged and down and fearful, then you know you've been looking and listening to the wrong things. You've been listening and looking at the wrong things. Keep yourself built up on the Word by looking and seeing yourself the way God sees you. Constantly. Good day. And we're going to have to stop on this verse. What it says, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. There's the encouragement again. For the Lord is on your side. God is on your side. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, I love this. Just the Father just wants to encourage you today. Keep you so you don't give up, give in, or quit. Don't give up, give in, or quit. Because it tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, the Amplified says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities. No, Jesus has been there for you already. He shared that for you, with you. It took it off of you. He says, have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and our liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. Jesus went there for you. He went there in your place. See it on Him. Picture it on Him, not on you. See it on Him. He took it and overcame it for you. He took it and conquered it for you. He took it and defeated it for you. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Always keeping this in mind. We'll continue next week. Hallelujah. So be encouraged. God is our encourager.
Yes.
He wants us to trust Him. He's dependable. He's reliable. He's trustworthy. He will never let us down. People can let you down. Doctors can let you down. God will never let us down. He loves you too much. He paid a great price for your victory. And was willing to do it for you, willingly gave it up for you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You this morning. Thank You for Your Word and all the constant reminders by the Holy Spirit that each one in here today that's listening and hearing this Word is taking it to heart. It's going down deep into their hearts, so that the Holy Ghost can quicken it and make it alive in them. Thank You for bringing these words of life back to their remembrance and reminding each one of them that they've already overcome. Nothing is too late with You. You're always right on time. Nothing is too hard for You. Nothing is too difficult for You. You've already paid the great price for our freedom, our victory, our triumph, our healing, and we are forever grateful. So grateful, so thankful. We thank You so much. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, you might have come today and you said, well, Pastor Debbie,